quickly. I'll say the first horse this morning then. I had a lifting offer for half the class. In a long time, not lifting offer, so we'll do that offer.
Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
bless you this morning. I'd just like to read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10. And it just, there's two verses here. And I want to try to speak from them this morning. Thank the Lord for a sense of his presence here already among us. I've got a lot of stuff here this morning, and perhaps I'll not use it all or need it all, but chapter 10 of Jeremiah, and just remain standing and we'll read these two verses first of all. And Jeremiah's speaking here, and we know he was a prophet of God, and he was under inspiration. Now forgive me, I do not know why I'm so emotional. I don't want to be emotional. It affects your faith. Being emotional can affect your faith. Don't want to be emotional this morning, but the Lord has answered prayer for me this morning. And he has already done something. And I appreciate the Lord for that. You know, I wouldn't lift my hands because I didn't want to lift my hands because, oh, I shouldn't even say this. I just didn't want the Holy Ghost to come on me mightily. Because sometimes it'll spill over. There's an overflow.
Yes.
You know, when the tank fills up, there's an overflow. When you get an overflow of the Spirit of God, you'll begin to manifest something from heaven.
Amen.
Something from the power, something with the power of God on it. Not a man-made thing. Oh no, something from heaven. I asked the Lord to do something this morning, and he done it immediately. He done it right away. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. And you know, I haven't come here this morning to attack anyone. Want you to know that. I'm not here to attack anybody. I'm only here to try to tell you what God spoke to me. I'm only here to read God's word. And I wrestled with this portion of scripture. And I wrestled with it. And I wrestled with it. And I said, there's no sermon in this. There's not a sermon in this at all. What are you doing? But God said to me, listen, John, this is my word. This is my word. It's God's word this morning. I hope you've come to hear God's word. Because if you hear God's word, you'll get something that will sustain you. You've got something underneath you and round about you. You've got the seed within you, which is the word of God. Now the spoken word is the original seed. Hallelujah!
Amen.
It's the real thing. It's not Coca-Cola. It's not a man-made product. It comes from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, the tank is just overflowed. I want to read these two verses here to you this morning. I want God to bless you. Praise the Lord. You know, Jeremiah's saying this here, and I believe, as I've said, he's under the inspiration of God. And he's not only under the inspiration of God, I believe it's a prayer. Verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. We just ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help me not to be emotional. Help me, Lord, not to say anything that ought not to be said. But Lord, let your word be forth, go forth with power and demonstration. Lord, Your word will not return unto you void. But Lord, even as Jeremiah prayed, Lord, correct me. And Lord, if we need correction this morning, Lord, correct us. And we, Lord, our times are in your hands. We commit our ways to you this morning. And Lord, we know that the way of man is not in himself. Therefore, Lord, we are indebted to you, because if you don't come and lead us or guide us, we'll definitely go the wrong way. Oh, help us, Lord, as a fellowship. Help us as brothers and sisters. Help us, oh Lord, and help me to say some small thing this day, Lord, that'll be an encouragement, not a discouragement, but an encouragement. In Jesus' precious name, bless your word, I pray, and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning, and I bless the Lord for his goodness. I've got loads of stuff written down on this tablet. Sometimes, you know, you can have a lot of stuff and you can have too much stuff. And you try to bring a lot of stuff in there and you really never maybe drive nothing home. And sometimes we're just better with something short, maybe stay to the point and drive it home. But I trust this morning, and I want to repeat myself. I am maybe repeating myself, and I hope I don't bore you to death if I repeat myself. But as I said, I have a title for this sermon, and this was a struggle for me also. And the title that I thought I would give it is Correction by Judgment. Correction by Judgment. And you know, once you hear the word judgment, you think the worst, don't you? Once you hear that word judgment, you can think the worst. And also, when you hear that word correction, you can think, oh, what's going on here? What's going on here? But by the help of the Lord this morning, I want to show you some things about the Lord and about us. Now, this wee portion of scripture that we read, and just off the top of my head, there's a lot of stuff in it. There's only two verses here, but there's a lot of stuff in it. Now what you have an account of man. First of all, Jeremiah says about man, he says, O Lord. You know, he says this here twice, O Lord. O Lord. That's sincerity. That's coming from the heart. That's coming not only from the heart, but it's coming from the soul. It's coming from the inner man. And he says, oh Lord. And then he says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Now, I was going down a line there and I've turned off it. But listen, just when I have said that. Man has no ability of his own to go the right way. Or to do the right thing. Man has no ability of his own to seek after the things of God. Man has no ability within himself for to know the way. Now when I say the way, I mean the right way. And Jeremiah says, oh Lord, he says, I know. Jeremiah knew that man did not have that ability within himself. He says the way of man is not in himself. So there's no man-made program that'll bring you to God or to bring you into the things of God. It's not of man. There's no educational program. Listen what a prophet of God said. Listen to this now. A prophet of God said, the Lord never reveals himself to the theologian. The Lord doesn't reveal himself to the theologian.
Amen.
You can't do a study and say, right, I'm going to do this study when I come out the other end. I'm going to know everything. I'm going to be able to do everything. Can't do that. The Lord's the one that has to reveal himself to you.
Amen.
The Lord's the one that has to open your heart.
Amen.
The Lord's the one that has to speak into your heart. The Lord's the one that has to direct you and show you the way. And one of the most ways that he will direct his people today is from his holy word.
Amen.
Now this book is the best preacher in the world.
Amen.
If it's not in this
it.
Amen.
If it's not in this book, you can't preach it.
Right.
And if it's not in this book, you don't need to believe it.
That's right.
But if it is in this book, hallelujah.
Amen.
You can preach it, and you can teach it, and you can believe it, because it's so saith the Lord. It's not a man's word, it's God's word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, I know that it's not, that the way of man is not in himself. See, we can't take no glory. God said he wouldn't give his glory unto another.
Right.
To God be the glory, great
things
he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in an atonement for sin.
Hallelujah.
And opened the life gate that all may go in. Listen. It's God's the one to get the glory.
Amen.
It's not in himself. It's not in me this morning.
Hallelujah.
Now, just quickly. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, I'm not even going to go to the politicians. What would you say about them? Not even going to go there. What about the rulers of this world? You know, we're to pray for them. The Bible says, pray for all that are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Well, I tell you something. They really need our prayers, because they're going the wrong way. They're going the wrong way. They're going down the road to hell as fast as they can go. And that's putting it mild. And I don't want to go down to Afghanistan or any of them places, but somebody said America went into Afghanistan 20 years ago and spent £1 billion or $1 billion to remove the Taliban and replace them with the Taliban. But not only that, look at the many lives was lost. And Mr. Tony Blair stands up and with a big beaming face, smile on his face like a Cheshire cat. And he sent thousands of young men to Afghanistan, 20 years old, and got them killed. And he's in the history books as a hero. Oh no, not even gone. Not a worth of mentioning this morning. I'm not here this morning. Boy, we'll not go down that road. But the way of man. The way of man. The way of man can do nothing.
That's
right. Anything he touches, he pollutes it. The psalmist said, the thoughts of man are vanity. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity.
Amen.
Vanity. But thank the Lord this morning for his mercy. Thank the Lord this morning. You know, I've written it down here. Man in general has no sense of direction. You know, if anybody has no sense of direction, do you know what, how you sum them up? They're lost.
Yes.
They're lost. And do you see, if you meet a man that's lost, he can't direct you. Imagine you're away somewhere and you have never been there before, and you meet this man coming down the road, and you say, here's a man coming down the road, I'll stop him, I'll ask them directions. And you stop the man, when you say to the man, where are we? And he says, I don't know, I'm lost. You know, I seen a sign on the back of the car one time, and it was from the devil. But you know what it said? Although it was true, sometimes the devil says things that's right. He says, don't follow me, I'm lost. Don't follow me, I'm lost. That's the truth. The devil is lost. And there's millions following him. And he wants to take them his route. He wants to take them his way. Jesus said, what does Jesus say? He said, I am the way. Amen.
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
He said, if any man would climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He says, I am the door into the sheepfold.
Amen.
By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Hallelujah. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. And that's Amen. Not he might be saved, there is a good possibility. No, he shall be saved. He shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a Savior today. His
Amen.
Name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's not lost. He died once unto sin, but in that he liveth unto God. Hallelujah. And what else did he say? He said, because I live, ye shall live also.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, he was speaking to Jesus, was teaching, and he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For he said, straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And he also went on to say, broad and crowded is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. You know, today there's two types, there's two peoples on the earth. There's the saved and there's the lost. There's people on that narrow way and there's people on that broad way. The people on the narrow way are following the Lord, the people on the broad way, they're following the devil. Now I have to move on. This machine I've written down a lot of stuff, and it keeps closing itself down. See, the danger is that people think, there's people today and they think they're on the right way. Proverbs, this verse is in the Bible twice. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6 on Proverbs 16 and verse 25. I'm not going to turn to it. You can turn to it if you want to, but I can tell you what it is. It says, there's a way that seemeth right unto
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
But the end thereof,
yeah.
the end product is death.
Yeah.
Death. Death at the end of it. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, the ways of death are the ways of destruction. The ways of destruction. You know, today, the Christian's not on the way to destruction.
Amen.
Why are you not on the way to destruction? Because you've got a Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Because you've got a Heavenly Father. And that Heavenly Father loves you. And I tell you, that's the reason why He has to correct us. Now this is for me. This is for me this morning. Now I don't want you to think I've picked you out and I'm preaching at you. I don't want you to think I'm up here to get you back. I'm not here to get anybody back. I'm not here to attack anybody, no. But I have got a Heavenly Father, and I want you to know you've got a Heavenly Father, and He's going to correct you. Now that Jeremiah said that here. He said, in verse 24, he says, O Lord, correct me. O Lord, correct me. You see, when he said correct me, you know what he was doing? He was saying to the Lord, you better take control.
Amen.
Lord, you better take control. Lord, you take control. Lord, you fix it for me. Lord, don't leave me to do it on my own. Correct me. Now, I may have not turned to it, but we'll see how we go with time. You know, if any of our children was going to go across a busy road without looking, would we not correct them? Why would you correct them? Because you love them. And if you didn't correct them, that's a sign you wouldn't love them. If you've seen your youngster, your child going across a busy road without looking, or standing on a rooftop and standing with his toes over the edge like that, and imagine he's standing on a four-story or a three-story building or a skyscraper, would you not say, do you not think you're a bit close to the edge? You see, that's what the devil wants you. Wants you at the edge. He wants you so that you could drop off. wants you so that you can drop out. That's what he wants. The Lord wants to correct you. See, when the Lord corrects you, I'm going to say this. Whenever the Lord corrects his people, he disturbs the purpose of Satan. Satan's purposes are disturbed when the Lord corrects his people. Now, I'll have to go through this, but listen. Jeremiah says, O Lord, correct me. O Lord, you do it. You come, Lord, and you take control. Because I can't, if I'm left to my own devices, if we are left to our own devices, we'll definitely go astray. We will definitely go astray. So we need the Word of God. We need the correction of the Lord. And we need it continually. We need it every day for the Lord to correct us. And as I said, whenever Jeremiah prayed that and whenever Jeremiah said that, he was saying, Lord, I submit myself to your judgment.
Amen.
And he said, you see, I don't know why I said this before or not, but I'm saying it again. We have the judgment of the Lord here. We have the correction of the Lord. We have the judgment of the Lord. But it also is mentioned in this verse, the anger of the Lord. You know, God's angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. Not now and again. No, every day he's angry with the wicked. You see, the good news is, he may not correct the wicked. He may not. But because he corrects us, that's proof that he loves you.
Amen.
Now I'm going to show it to you from the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. That it's proof that God loves you when he corrects you. Now, he said, Lord, you correct me, but with judgment. Now, I want to say this, and this is so true, and I believe it's also so important. You see, when the Lord corrects you, he never corrects you in anger. Now, I could learn a lesson from that, because I have been guilty of being angry when I shouldn't be. Now, I'm angry with the cattle. Many's a day I am angry with them cattle. We have cows and calves, and there's always one that'll go the wrong way. There's maybe two that'll go the wrong way. You open the gate to bring them out of the field. They come down to the gate and one will be half through it and he'll turn and go back. Or else he'll not come through the gate. He'll make a hole in the hedge beside the gate that's opened. He can't walk through a 12-foot gate or a 13-foot gate, but he can go through a hole in the hedge that way. You know, I have a blue polythene pipe. You know what I call that? I call that the memory refresher. I've seen cows that will not walk through the door to go into the parlour. But whack. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Straight in. You see, I'm cross. I shouldn't be cross. The Bible says put off anger. Put the anger off. I want you to know, when the Lord corrects you, he never does it in anger. He always does it in love. The Lord always corrects us in love. Aren't you glad for that this morning?
Amen.
You know, I want to turn quickly to Hebrews. I've a lot of stuff in here, and I'm just going to turn to Hebrews. It's chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to soon sit down here. But listen about this here in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, what I need to say to you is also, now don't turn to it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he's talking to them about the breaking of bread service. And in verse 32 it says, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we might not be condemned with the world. So when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. So the way the Lord chooses to judge you and the way the Lord chooses to judge me, he chastens us. He corrects us. That's a correction. He corrects us. And we're chastened of the Lord when we're judged of the Lord. And the reason for that is that we'll not be condemned with the world.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know that God loves you. Now, listen to what John, off the top of my head, John wrote the epistles in 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 1. John writes these words and he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, or upon us, that we should be called the sons of God."
Amen.
Now, remember that, the sons of God. Now, we have it here. We have it here in this verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 12. We have this address from God. Listen to what it says. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation." Now, an exhortation is something that's said to you, advising you that you need to do something. That's what an exhortation is. If I exhort you to come this afternoon, that's an exhortation. If I exhort you when this meeting's over, go you home and get your dinner, because you'll die with hunger if you don't. That's an exhortation, and that's maybe not a great illustration, but that's an exhortation. But listen to this. He says, "The exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Now, it's not easy for you, and it's not easy for me. But listen, in a nutshell, this is what the Lord is saying. He says, when the Lord rebukes you, if he does rebuke you, or if the Lord chastens you, don't spit the dummy out. You know what I mean when I say don't spit the dummy out? Don't go mad. Don't go mad. But also, I want you to notice in this here, verse 5, it says, "Which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son." You see, God's coming to you and he's saying, "My son, my son." He's speaking to you, he's speaking to me. He says, "My son, my son. Don't forget it." And he says, "Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And verse 6, I'll tell you what I have been trying to say. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth." And you know, if you're going through a hard time, and maybe the Lord's chastening you, maybe the Lord's not, maybe you're going through a tough time, and you know, maybe the Lord has to correct us, it's for our good. And God is only doing that because he loves us. Isn't that good to know? You know, and if I just read on here, verse 7 says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." You know, we're in Orange Hall this morning, and there's banners here and all, and we have bond parades in this country, and I noticed different times and some of the bond parades and some of the banners, the big banner up, and it said, "Sons of William. Sons of William." Well, sons of William is all right. I'm not going to say nothing against them. But sons of the Lord, bear it. Sons of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Will stand the time of test on eternity.
Right.
Sons of God will come up in the first resurrection, or else they'll go in the catching away when the Lord comes back. Sons of God. And you know, the Lord addresses you. What does that mean? It means that the Lord wants to be identified with you. He's calling you his son. He's calling you his daughter. He wants to be identified with you. Isn't that good to know that the Lord, God Almighty, wants to be identified with us? in 2021, when the world's going crazy, God has still got a people that he wants to be identified with. And he's not afraid to call, the Bible says of Jesus, he's not afraid to call us brethren. He's not afraid to call you his son this morning.
Amen.
Now I have to move on. I don't want to bore you to death. And verse 9 says, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
Amen.
You know, I'm speaking to you this morning, and I know you're holy. You're a holy people. God's people are a holy people. But you see, when the Lord chastens us, it makes us even holier. I said it breaks the purpose of Satan. Now, Satan's purpose is to keep you away from God and to keep you away from the things of God and to take you the wrong way. In your own life, at your work, in the church, in your family. His purpose is to the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what the Lord said about the devil. But he said, I am come that you might have life.
Amen.
And that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Right.
And I'm reminded of that time when Jesus went down to Capernaum and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he taught them there. And the Bible says that there was a man there with an unclean devil. And when Jesus was preaching and teaching in the synagogue that morning or that afternoon, whatever it was, that devil was really disturbed at what Jesus was saying, and the devil cried out and he said, we know you who you are, you Holy One of God. Art thou come to torment us before the time, or art thou come to destroy us? And the devil knew that Jesus was here to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest.
Amen.
That he might destroy the works
right.
of the devil.
Amen.
See, every time God chastens you, he's destroying Satan's purpose. He's destroying the purpose of the devil. You know what the devil will tell you? He'll tell you, never go back to church. That's what he'll tell you. Never go back to church. You know what else he'll tell you? Never want to be a deacon. And he'll definitely tell you, never ever be a pastor. Never ever do that. Why? Because you might help somebody. Because you might lead somebody to Christ. Because you might help some brother who's struggling. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to go down and rebuke somebody sharply and maybe take the legs from them. Now, well, maybe I'm guilty of that myself. No, God doesn't do it that way. God says, I love you. God says, I give myself for you. Since you're my son, you're my daughter, I'm going to correct you with judgment. Now there's a judgment for the believer, and then there's a judgment for the lost. It's two different things. It's two different things.
Amen.
There's a judgment that the believer will never come into because they've passed from death unto life.
Amen.
There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ
Amen.
Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. No condemnation now, I dread. Praise his holy name. You see, he's the father of spirits. The Bible says, you see, whenever Jeremiah said, correct me, you know what he was saying? Lord, I want to be in subjection to you. Lord, I want you to steer the ship. Lord, I want you to control my life. I want to go where you want me to go.
Amen.
I don't want to go anywhere, Lord, where I can't take you with me.
Amen.
You know how many Christians today are running all over the place, and there's places where they're going, there's places where they're frequenting, and the Lord would never go there. I heard a man preaching one time, and he said, what would happen if Jesus was going to your house this afternoon for his tea? He said, what would be different in your home? The lad had the television on. I'd want to see Carnation Street. I'd want to see EastEnders. Amen. There's no way. Because that's rubbish. That is nothing for the soul. And you know, some people sitting there watching it, and they believe it. They believe it. You see, years ago, I'm old. I'm one of the oldest people in here. I remember years ago that people used to come to the farmhouse and they come in at night and they sat down. It was just a bit of conversation. But then the television came. Mm-hmm. And it took over the media. And you know what else? No, it's ruined the conversation today. The mobile phone. You're sitting beside somebody. Now you're not allowed to sit beside them now. Not even allowed to sit beside somebody now. But you're sitting beside somebody and they're in a bus, they're in an airplane, or they're just in a taxi, or they're going home and you're trying to talk to them. Oh, bleep, 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 bleep. They're sending a message.
That's right.
People come to church and bring a mobile phone. Why?
Right.
They want to get a message sent.
Yes, that's right.
What's wrong with the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
What happened to the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
You see, the phone, the battery can go flat. Oh, there's no pickup.
That's it.
What's wrong today? People not expecting a word from God. People will come to church and bring a mobile phone because they're waiting on a message from a foreign country, maybe. Or from home. Is the dinner ready yet? We need revival.
Amen.
We need the power of God to hit us. We need the fire of God to come on us. We need the correction of the Holy Spirit, of the living God coming into our lives.
Amen.
It'll change you from glory to glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From holiness to more holiness.
Amen.
From an understanding of the word to more of an understanding of the word.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You say that you might be partakers of His holiness. That's why God corrects us. He wants you to be holy. The Bible says, be ye holy. Be ye holy. Amen. The Lord said, He's holy, so you be holy. You know this Bible, and when you read about Jesus, you're meant to be like Him. We sing the wee song sometimes, to be like Jesus. Now some people want to be like God. Well, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. So He was God in a man. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. But let us be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
Amen.
All through life's journey from earth to glory.
Amen.
All I ask is to be like Him. To be like Jesus. Now verse 11 says, Hebrews chapter 12 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Now there's a reward. There's a reward when God corrects you. There's a reward. It says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths through your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Hallelujah. You see, it's a healing process when God corrects us. When God corrects us, whenever He chastens us, it leads to a healing process. And not only does it lead to a healing process, but it also yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. God's doing it. You know, I'm good at picking holes in our people that preach and try to preach. But there's a man, I heard a man, he was advertising a book to get the book. It said, the title on the book, God is Trying. God is trying. God doesn't try.
Amen.
God does.
Amen.
Amen.
God's trying. God's trying. plan to light a match that's damp? What's he plan? God's plan. God's not trying. God's in control.
Amen.
God rules the universe.
Amen.
The heavens of heaven can't contain him.
Amen.
Yet with all, he lives in your heart. He lives in my heart. He's everywhere. He's all over the world. He's moving by his spirit. He's in this room now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was here before you came. He was waiting on you waiting in this morning. He was at your bedside this morning before you got out of bed. He was there. He was there all the time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Hallelujah. Said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you every day. He knows your every care. He knows what you're going through. But his hand's on you when he corrects you. Praise his holy name. I have to move on. Don't know if I've said half of what I've written down here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lift up your hands if they're hanging down.
Amen. Amen.
Lift up your hands if they're hanging down. And the feeble knees, mixed it pass for your feet.
Amen.
See, when the gate opens, go through it. Don't go through a hole in the hedge. Imagine the door down there and you're not going to go through it. You're going to go out through the window. You're not behind it. Take the way that the Lord's saying. That's the best way. I'm going to have to come to a close soon. Listen. I want just to read a few verses here from Psalms 94. You know, God's in control and God knows what's going on in the world. He's in control. He never was out of control.
That's right.
He's ruled. He rules in the heavens.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. Psalms 94 and... Oh, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in this here. You know, when you go home today, maybe you'll read the whole psalm. It's not a very long psalm, but I'm not going to read it all now. But listen, I'll read from verse 7. Now, he's talking about the heathen. He's talking about the world in general. He's talking about man in general. Well, I'll just read from verse 4. You know, I should be reading the whole chapter, but I'm not going to do it. Verse 4 says, "How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves?" We're living in the last days, and of course we're living in the last days. The Bible says the love of iniquity shall so abound that the love of many will wax cold. There's never been as much iniquity on this earth as there is today. And we see the boldness of sin. It's everywhere, staring you in the face, the boldness of sin. The love of iniquity. And the psalmist says, "How long shall they utter and speak hard things?" You see, they've took the rainbow now and they've turned it into a symbol of Sodomites. Took something that God gave for a sign that it never flood this earth, and then they've taken it now and perverted it. See, Satan's way is a perverted way. Satan's way is the wrong way. A man said once, and how true it was, how do you know that Satan's telling a lie, the devil's telling a lie? Every time he opens his mouth. Every time he opens his mouth, the Bible says he's the liar and the father of it. So all things that is untrue come from him. He's the source. He's the source of unbelief. He's the source of sickness and sin. He's that source. He's that one that came to destroy. Verse 5 says, "They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage." Well, they want to laugh at you if you say you're a Christian. not right, break you in pieces. They want to say, oh, that boy's, that man, sure forget about him. He calls himself a Christian. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the follower of this. You say, how did they do that? What about all these babies that's aborted? Somebody said the other day just 2,000 babies in Northern Ireland this year aborted. That's 2,000 children that was killed who were, as it were, they never knew their father. The fatherless. 2,000. You know what the Bible says? That's the work of iniquity. That's from their father, the devil. Cain was off the wicked one.
Amen.
And he slew Abel. He's still killing today. That same line still wants to murder. He was the first murderer. And there's been many others after him. And it says then, yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Oh, it'll not matter. I'm a member of the church, you know. Now, let me say this, and I need to drop this in here. There's a judgment for God's people, but then there's another judgment for the lost. And there's another judgment for the workers of iniquity. It says, the Lord will not see it, or the Lord will not regard it. And then it says in verse 8, understand ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? You know what the Bible says about a man that's in honour and has no understanding? Who's a man that's in honour? Well, a man that has plenty of money. A man that has plenty of money has plenty of friends. Especially if you go to the pub. They'll all be your friend. But the Bible says a man that is in honour without understanding. Understanding of the right way. Understanding of his way. The Bible says he's as the beast that perisheth. He's lost. He's lost forever. Doesn't matter what he possessed down here. If he's not saved, he'll go to hell. He's lost forever. I have to move on. But listen. Verse 9 says, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? Now, God made the ears.
Amen. Amen.
They say God did not know. God did not hear. No, he did not hear, but he made the ear. He made hearing.
Yes, amen.
He made understanding.
Amen.
Now, it also goes on to say, he that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see? God made the seeing. God made the eyes. And then they think God will not see. How stupid. God knows everything. God knows everything. And then it says, he that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? Now that's about the heathen. You ever wonder why some of these things happen in these countries like the tsunamis? You ever wonder why there's earthquakes in divers places? You ever wonder why there's famine? You ever wonder why people are getting burned up now with the sun? that might sound strange. You ever wonder why they flooded? God's correcting them. God's yelling at them to repent.
That's right.
He's trying to tell them something, but they're not listening. And verse 11 says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. A waste of time. The thoughts of man are vanity. They lead you to nowhere. Well, it means whenever you're finished, you're back where you started. You're no farther forward. It's time wasting exercise.
Yes, that is it.
You see, that's the work of the devil.
That's right.
If he can get you to waste your time. Now, I used to have an old saying in the years and years ago when I went to the prayer meeting. And I used to tell it to the Lord, and I'm sure he was a bit tired of me telling it to him. But I always said, Lord, I don't have time to waste my time. You know, never be content if you're wasting your time. Your time's important. Your time's precious. Amen. We need the Lord to direct our times. Our times are in His hands.
Amen.
We need to commit them to Him. So it says, the Lord knows the thoughts of men at their vanity. And verse 12 says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. How do you know what to do? There's the guide. But there's the guide. This book. Deviate from the book, you have deviated from the guide.
That's right.
Stay with the book, you have stayed with the guide. Now, I'm moving on. And it says, blessed is the man, O Lord, whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversary until the pit be digged for the wicked. Now, when the Lord chasteneth you, and when he corrects us, he does it in love, and he doesn't only do it in love, he does it that you might get rest from the adversary.
Amen.
You would get rest from the adversary. And then he goes on to say, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment on the believer, judgment shall return unto righteousness. So there's the fruit of judgment again. It's righteousness. That's the fruit of it. Righteousness. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. Now, I have just one more portion of scripture, and I want to read it. And I'm going to leave it with you this morning. And it's found again. If you go into the Bible and start to do a study on this, there's loads and loads and loads of stuff that you could say. But I want to read Psalms 32 from verse 7 down till 11. And the psalmist says in verse 7 of Psalm 32, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversaries, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. I'm reading the wrong psalm. I'm reading Psalm 31. Sorry about that. Leave it to me. Sorry about that. I need to read Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 7. This is what it says. It says about of the Lord. The psalmist said, thou art my hiding place.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad I can hide in the Lord.
Amen.
You see, when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Christ. He sees the cross. He sees Calvary. He sees that atonement. He sees the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He doesn't only see the blood, but he sees his spirit that came on you. He sees the seal of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. And the psalmist said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance.
Amen. Deliverance.
Listen to what he says in verse 8. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go.
Amen.
And I will guide thee with mine eye. He's watching over you this morning. He's watching over me. He's watching over this assembly. He's watching over you as a people of God. He watches over you every day. He says, I will guide you. I will guide you. The Lord, you know, we need him to guide us.
Amen.
We need him to correct us. We need him to lead us. We need him to guide us. He said, I'll do that. He says, I will instruct you and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. So God wants us to receive instruction.
Amen.
God wants us to, and you know, when you get instruction, that can be correction. Now, if I'm going to give you directions to go to Newry from here, I'll not tell you to go out through that door and turn right and go down to the bottom of the street and turn left and go out to the... There's a weighbridge out there where the police wait for some boys sometimes. I'm not going to tell you to go to the weighbridge and turn left and keep on going. We If you do your lot in Belfast, you're going to have to go that way to go to Newry. You understand what I'm saying? You know, today we need to get the right instruction. Where do you get it? You get it from this book.
Amen.
And if you can't get it in this book, you forget about it. Don't you follow it, because you'd go the wrong road. Now, I'm moving on. I'm sorry, I'm taking up a lot of your time. And it says, verse 9 is very blunt. Listen to what it says. Be not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. Amen. Lest they come near unto thee. Does God have to put the bit in our mouth to turn us? He says, don't be without understanding. Don't be without instruction. Don't reject the truth when you hear it. Receive it. And then it goes on in verse 10. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And I'm going to end it there. You have listened really well. I just want to pray, and maybe, I don't know, we'll just pray here for a moment. We'll just wait on the Lord. And I trust the Lord has blessed you. Praise his holy name. Our Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. Oh Lord, if anything was said that wasn't from you, would you blank it from the people's minds? But anything, Lord, that come from you, may we store it in our hearts. Lord, the psalmist David said, I've hid thy word in my heart that I would not sin against you. And Lord, bless all your people this morning. And Lord, I thank you, you love us. You love us. And that's why you correct us. Lord, may we receive instruction out of your law. May we receive correction, but by judgment. Not in thine anger, Lord. Not in thy fury, Lord. But in your love. And Lord, you loved us with an everlasting love when you gave yourself for us. Oh Lord, I pray your people will be encouraged this morning. I don't want anyone, let no one be disheartened or discouraged from what I've said, Lord. And Lord, you know my heart this morning. I haven't picked any individual out or any group out, Lord. I'm not here to try to attack anyone. I'm only here, Lord, to speak your word. And I ask, Lord, your word will not return unto you void, but it'll prosper in the thing whereto you do send it. And Lord, you did answer the prayer this morning. Lord, I don't know why you would do it for me, but you don't. Lord, we can bring you nothing. Somebody said, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Lord, I know you're coming again. I know this world, evil man, is waxing worse and worse. And you're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But Lord, we want to be subject to you, the Father of spirits. We want to be subject to you and live. Lord, I thank you this life for a look at the crucified one. Lord, bless your people again, I say, and fill each one with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Remember those this morning, Lord, who are sick. Remember those this morning, Lord, who are feeling downcast. I ask you to lift them up. I ask, Lord, you'll compass them about with songs of deliverance.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And maybe the pastor wants to come or Gary wants to come. It'd be great to sing something, wouldn't it? It'd be great to sing something, just commit our way to him. You know, I wanted to sing two hymns this morning, but I'm not going to sing them because Sister Alma's not here. But there's a wee hymn in that hymn book, and it's, I think it's 470. You know what it says? My times are in your hands.
Amen.
My times are in your hands. And then there's another one, and I don't know, maybe Brother Gary can sing it. It's not an easy, I never pick an easy one. Brother Melvin can maybe sing it. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land.
Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, you know, we're weak today, you know, but Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ Jesus. You know, if you go to the Lord all the time, you stick your chest out and say, I'm a big, strong man. I don't need your help, Lord. God's not interested in pride. God says, he wants you to come. He wants you to humble yourself. He wants you to say, Lord, I need you.
Amen.
Just like old Jeremiah said, oh, Lord, correct me. Oh, Lord, correct me. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man's not himself. He's going the wrong way. Many people in Brickland this morning going the wrong way. You know, my son-in-law had to go to the hospital last night. He'd got tonsillitis real bad, and he'd got an abscess in his throat. Come on, I'm so bad, he couldn't even talk. And Joy, my daughter Joy, phoned the nurse and said, bring him tonight, bring him to the hospital, bring him to the doctor. Took him to the doctor. The doctor says, you go to the hospital. He has to go to Auchnagelvin. You see, our governments in Northern Ireland used to have hospitals all over the place, and then they closed them all. You have to go to Auchnagelvin. That's at Londonderry, the other side of Londonderry. Billy and Joy live in Strabane. It's not that far, but it's a bit. And you know, else you have to go to Belfast. Go to Newry in the middle of the night. And you had it, when you get there, you have to sit for 3 or 4 hours. Now, that's not the nurse's fault, nor the doctor's fault. It's the system.
Right.
You know what the nurse said to Joy? Joy said, well, I wait till the morning and bring him in the morning. The nurse said, no. Don't go to the hospital on Sunday morning. Why? All the drunkards are there. Go out on Saturday night. Like Barry Smith said, champagne at night and real pain in the morning.
Right.
In the hospitals, is packed out on a Sunday morning. They're all drunk, faces cut out of them, noses cut out of them, blood running out of them. Feed a drink, great stuff this boss. It's great stuff. They want to wreck your home and destroy your marriage and lost your job and your driving license.
Right.
And live for the devil and die and go to the lost eternity. It's great stuff. It's the devil's porridge, the devil's wine. But Billy went up to the hospital and thanked the Lord. He went in at 11 o'clock and he got out at 7 this morning. He come home and went and milked the cows. See, the farmer will be got dead on his feet someday because he doesn't know when to stop. That's right. And you know, there's farmers here. Samuel can vouch for this. Nobody else could do your job. Couldn't do it. I shouldn't have said that. That's boastful, isn't it? You know, if I wasn't there tomorrow morning, somebody else would have to do it. But you get into the rut, you get into that system where it has to be done. Now, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, because you see, what you can do sometimes, you can talk so much, talk too much. Take the Spirit of the Lord out of the meeting. I want you to stay reverent. I want you to stay reverent. I mean not this morning. I want you to stay reverent, even if Pastor Tommy comes, if Gary comes, whatever happens, stay reverent. Just wait on the Lord. Commit it to Him. You know, we're depending on God's mercy every day, aren't we? One of these days, it's over. One of these days, it's all over. The Lord's coming back. It's over. We've missed our opportunity. See, if the Lord doesn't correct us, that's when you miss an opportunity. See, when He corrects you, you'll get the opportunity.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand our feet, and Gary's going to come in a moment. The Lord bless you, Brother John. I really appreciated the word. And we thank God for his correction. One of the sisters had shared with me about prayer cloths, and we used to have prayer cloths, and I've done out a wee thing for prayer cloths. I have none here this morning. That sister's not here this morning. But we're going to have them. The idea of the prayer cloths, we're going to pray over them. Somebody's sick, the can't physically come to church, send them a prayer cloth. There's instructions will be on it, what they're to do. And the Bible says they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the body of Paul.
That's right, amen.
And they laid them on the sick, that's and right. They were healed. It's scripture.
That's right.
Amen. I'm going to sit down, and Brother Gary's going to lead us in a couple of songs before we go. And then we're going to come back for 6 this evening. Brother Terry's going to share his testimony. If somebody wants prayer while we're singing, slip up to the front and Brother John will pray for you. I believe John's anointed of the Lord.
Amen.
And if you need prayer, don't miss an opportunity. Now, I know of all these different rules and regulations, but I know there's certain things we have to go by. And I believe COVID's real, but God's more real. If you want prayer, you come up as a Brother Guy and lead us whatever song the Lord leads him. And the Lord bless everyone. And make an effort come tonight, hear Brother Terry's testimony. Appreciate Brother Terry. We'll be here at 6 o'clock. God bless each one. God bless you, Brother John.
First thing I'll tell you, healeth me, bless the truth.